This piece was brought to you by King Arthur Flower, kingarthurflower.com.
HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Business. In March of 2013, ConAgra and Horizon Mills announced a merger that, when completed, will give them control of one-third of the U.S.'s flour milling market, the largest in American history. Horizon, itself a merger between Cargill and CHS, is already the largest flour miller, controlling 18% of the American market. Its consolidated operation with ConAgra, which will be called Ardent Mills, is expected to overshadow the industry.
I think of equal concern is this broader systemic issue that we are dealing with, which is the control of over 30% of our wheat flour milling capacity in the hands of a single firm. If you add Archer Daniels Midland to the mix, which is the next large rival or the other large rival in the milling market, these two companies will have over 50% of national wheat milling capacity. So I think the question is, do we want that? Do we want a huge percentage of our wheat flour milling capacity in the hands of two firms?
That's Diana Moss, an economist and vice president of the American Antitrust Institute, who along with Food and Water Watch has been very vocal about their concerns surrounding the merger. The consolidation has been delayed by a Department of Justice investigation, as well as the recent announcement that four of the 44 merged mills would be divested. However, neither move is enough to backpedal the increased homogenization of the flour industry, which has left smaller artisan millers worrying that they'll end up in the dust.
I mean, if you're moving literally hundreds of shiploads of product globally in great big tankers, you're not stopping to think about a mill that's producing a half a million or a million pounds of flour a year, even 100,000. And there's thousands of people out there doing that now, and there are food hubs that are supporting these things. I'm watching them pop up with increasing frequency, and they're looking at, you know, they're sort of resizing the way we think about bread, wheat in general, cereals in general, and big ag. You know, big ag needs to be big ag, I suppose, but I'm not an expert. But in the area of artisanship, where you're trying to produce the highest flavor you can get, you normally don't go looking at big ag to produce that.
That's Glenn Roberts, the founder of Anson Mills in South Carolina.
Anson Mills farms across the United States and grows over 30 different kinds of land-raised wheat and mills probably 100-plus different flours, both custom and core product, from those land-raised wheats or heirloom wheats. So we have about one of everything you can think of, to tell you the truth. We also grow our own seeds, so that's actually our mission.
Anson Mills is part of a small but determined contingent of artisan millers across North America who are continuing to grow and mill local heritage grains. The way Roberts runs his mill dates back to the 1800s, the antebellum period in Southern Carolina. The industrialization and consolidation of flour was kickstarted by the invention of the roller mill around 1870, which was so efficient it quickly replaced traditional stone ground methods. As technology developed, winter wheat grown in large fields in the Midwest became the dominant style of production. Today, between 70 and 80% of all American wheat is that variety.
We've lost a lot of very really interesting strains, and not just high gluten flour, but even summer and winter wheat used to be very different, have different purposes. And I think that, you know, because we pool all of our wheat in one place and we mill it in one place, which is mostly the Midwest, it's become completely homogenous and boring.
That's Ken Albala, a food historian and professor at University of the Pacific. He has some strong feelings about the all-purpose flour we've come to use in most American baking.
All-purpose flour is good for basically nothing. You know, it's not great for making bread. It's not light enough for making cake. It doesn't have the right structure, really, for making pastries. So we've had to do other things to our flour-based recipes to make them palatable, like add tons of butter or add conditioners or make things like cake out of it, you know.
Harsh, perhaps, but not completely off base. As Diana Moss points out, there are also some big risks inherent in consolidating the market.
By bottlenecking the supply chain like this in flour milling capacity, we're losing redundancy, we're losing diversity in the supply chain, meaning we're not going to have very many producers producing this stuff. That means if there's any sort of shock to our food system, weather, natural disasters, you know, whatever, biological phenomenon, for example, our supply chain would become very unstable. And there wouldn't be many alternative producers to turn to secure needed flour supplies. And of course, flour goes into everything.
This one-size-fits-all flour has spurred a big push here in New York for more diverse local grains. The Regional Grains Project by Grow NYC's Green Market has led the movement. Their bakers have gone from using commodity flour to baking with 65,000 pounds of local flour a month. There's a growing movement towards regionalized local grains made for specific purposes, and people are taking note. According to June Russell, the manager of farm inspections and strategic development for Grow NYC, local flours and grains like emmer, rye, and spelt have moved onto the market. Russell also says that she's only seen demand for local and diverse flours growing. Bakers are now calling for red fife flour, pizza makers want to make spelt flour pizzas, and Russell says she gets cornered at the market by chefs looking for interesting new varieties to work with. Keith Cohen, the owner of Orwasher's Bakery in New York, which has been making bread with local organically raised flours for years, agrees.
Using these different strains of flour, there's a certain nuttiness. You know, when you strip out the bran and the germ and you're using strictly white flour that's commercially grown, you know, out in the Dakotas or Mid-America, that flavor is missing.
With consolidations like the one between ConAgra and Horizon promising lower prices for farmers and higher prices for consumers, farmers may be more hesitant to go against the grain, literally. But artisan grains might actually be a smart economic move, says Cohen.
I think there is a market for small artisan mills out there. And, you know, sometimes by consolidating, it makes them even more desirable, right? Because now you have this big kind of conglomerate, and there's nothing else in between. So I would almost say for the small mills of flour and grain, almost like the microbreweries now.
Some millers have made concerted efforts to encourage and support farmers who grow these artisan grains. Robert Beauchemin, who has been growing and milling wheat since the 1970s, is the owner of Moulin de Soulanges outside Montreal. He employs a team of people dedicated specifically to helping farmers transition to growing organic heritage strains of wheat for his mills.
A challenge is to get some farmers to grow them, to give them a lot of agronomic support. So in both our plants, we have a staff of agronomists, professional agronomists, whose job it is to help the farmers improve their yields, reduce their agronomic risks, and to bring new farmers into the program. So we're taking farmers from the conventional sector, accompanying them through transition, providing a market for the transition wheat. And if some are comfortable evolving into the organic sector, then we take them on and fully support them. We've seen, as we've been facilitating this transition, farmers doubling the yields. So the goal for us is to make sure that the farmer is improving on his yields and his financial gains also.
Making small artisan milling financially viable is the big question mark going forward. But Keith Cohen is optimistic.
I do think you will have small farms or small mills that will have the ability, and the raw material will cost more than something from ConAgra or Horizon or whatever. But the goal is hopefully you produce a superior product and you can charge a little bit more and everyone gets the same business and make a decent profit.
So is Ken Albala.
So I think returning to very specific flours that are used for very specific dishes, I think we're going to have a revival of bread. You know, and it's happening here and there. I think that people like Tartine in San Francisco, you know, they're turning out fabulous bread. And for a very good reason is they're using different flours and they're definitely fermenting it and taking the kind of care.
We'll see. Maybe this merger will create new spaces in the world of bread. Maybe it's about to be artisan millers' time in the spotlight. No matter what, there are definitely some delicious alternatives to big bread. For HeritageRadioNetwork.org, this is Talia Ralph.
To hear more on milling, flour, and bread baking technologies with Ken Albala and more, check out the Roger Smith Food Tech Conference on April 3rd through 5th, 2014. For more information, check out thefoodconference.com.
Heritage Radio Network is a member-supported nonprofit organization broadcasting over 30 live shows a week. To learn more and donate, visit our website or connect with us on iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram for more. The songs used in this piece are Vicodin Dreams by Techstar and Star Cruise by Dreams. Thanks for listening.